Hello and welcome to FX Talk, an eBrief podcast where we break down some of the main news headlines of the financial markets and give our take on what these developments might mean for the world of foreign exchange. My name is Matthew Ryan, Senior Market Analyst here at eBrief, and I'm delighted to be joined on the podcast by two of my colleagues, our Chief Risk Officer, Enrique Diaz-Alvarez, and Market Analyst, Roman Zaruk. So this podcast is all about the foreign exchange market. We aim to take a look at some of the main news stories in FX, discuss them, and give our view on what they might mean for currencies going forward. On today's episode of FX Talk, episode 15, recorded on Tuesday the 24th of November, we start with the latest pandemic headlines and their implications for the FX market, notably news of progress towards three different COVID vaccines. We'll then finish by talking about this week's business activity PMIs out of the US, Euro area and UK, which continues to show signs of quite a sharp divergence in economic performance. Okay, so we're going to start today's podcast with the latest pandemic headlines. The past few weeks, we've seen news of three different COVID vaccines that have yielded positive results in the final stages of testing. We talked in our last episode about that from Pfizer and BioNTech that reportedly yields a 95% effectiveness against the virus, although it's expensive relative to the others at £25 per dose and needs to be stored in ultra-cold temperatures of minus 70 degrees Celsius. Since then, we've had news from US pharmaceutical Moderna, which has again yielded a 95% effectiveness in testing, but is cheaper than that from Pfizer at £15 per dose and requires storage of minus 20 degrees. And then finally, we've had news this week from Oxford University of its vaccine, that while offering slightly less protection, is considerably cheaper at £3 per dose and only requires fridge temperatures for storage, so it should be much easier to transport and distribute around the world. Markets have generally reacted favourably to the news. Stocks have rallied. Emerging market currencies are on the whole higher, with the traditional safe haven, Japanese yen and Swiss franc, selling off on each occasion of positive vaccine news. We've also seen some idiosyncratic moves, with those currencies, those countries, I should say, worst affected by the virus, seeing their currencies rally the most in the news, sterling being one such example. So what do you guys make of the market reaction to these vaccines and to the pandemic situation in general?
Well, I think that clearly the news are better than we were expecting as little as a month ago. People were thinking that we're planning to have a vaccine widely available perhaps no earlier than mid-2021. And this excellent results from the trials means that in the U.S., they're going to start rolling them out as early as the first half of December, probably not much later than that in Europe, so that we might start seeing the first economic impact of the vaccine in the first quarter of 2021, in that the lockdowns are probably going to be lifted sooner than we were expecting. And it's unlikely that we'll see additional lockdowns after the vaccines go into wide release. The impact in the market is what one would expect, a screaming rally in risk assets, primarily equities. We're seeing a more modest impact on the currency markets, where emerging markets, the risk assets in the currency space have rallied. On average, the JP Morgan FX index has rallied about 3% in the month of November. However, it is lagging. I mean, I think that there's still considerable room for emerging market currencies to catch up with other risk assets, especially given the beating they took earlier in the pandemic and the relatively low valuations will be where they are.
Yeah, generally, when it comes to emerging markets, I was quite surprised that the currencies didn't really react, or they did not react strongly to the news of the vaccine. Because if we look at the JP Morgan EM currency index, yes, it is higher for the month of November. But since we got the first news of the vaccine to the current point, we are basically at the same level. And same goes for the MSCI EM currency index, which means that the currencies didn't really react. Some of it, or that they are back where they were. Some of it probably has to do with some profit taking after the US election, because this coincided with the period where the first vaccine effectiveness from Pfizer was announced. Also, this could likely be linked to the fact that the EM countries will likely get the vaccine later, or at least that the process might not be as smooth as with some main economies which are lining up for the vaccines right now. But generally, I would also agree that they have further room to go, but this rally might happen somewhat later than in some other risk assets. So probably we are going to see that in the first quarter of 2021, I would say, and maybe even throughout the entire year.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, I think the currency market reaction has actually been slightly limited compared to other markets. So we're generally seeing risk assets rally, as one would expect. I think for me, the interesting aspect of how the market has reacted has been the somewhat idiosyncratic nature of the moves. I think if you look at the currencies that have performed the best on the vaccine news have been those that are either suffering quite a lot from the pandemic, so high levels of cases and deaths per capita or strict lockdown measures, or those that are near or at the front of the queue for receiving relatively large quantities of the vaccines. One notable example I've already mentioned is sterling. The UK obviously has relatively high COVID death ratios, the fifth highest in Europe on a per capita basis. Lockdown has been pretty strict. So I think the UK economy should benefit quite greatly from a vaccine. Also, not only will the UK be at the front of the queue for the very cheap and easy to transport Oxford University vaccine, but the UK has ordered more vaccine doses per head than any other country or economic area in the world, with the exception of Australia and Canada. So I think it's one of the reasons why we're seeing sterling outperform relative to some of its peers in the last few weeks. And then if we look on the flip side of that, of course, there's those currencies that have slightly underperformed. I think there's two that I'd probably like to highlight as notable examples. Look at currencies such as the Australian dollar. It's one of the higher risk currencies in the G10. You would expect it was sort of stand to reason that this currency would rally sharply on news of a vaccine. But actually, the Aussie dollar hasn't benefited too much from the vaccine news. I think given that Australia currently has very low levels of infection at the moment. Another example, something EM universe, would be the Chinese yuan. Again, we've not seen too much in the way of a positive reaction in CNY, perhaps given that China has the virus largely under control. So a vaccine wouldn't actually provide anywhere near as much benefit to countries such as Australia and China as it would many other countries that are suffering more from the virus at the moment.
And I think that it cannot be emphasized that conditions outside of the pandemic, conditions are as supportive of risk assets as they could possibly be. Rates are zero or negative everywhere in the G10 world. There's massive amounts of fiscal help in the pipeline in most of the key economic areas. So in the event of a return to something like normalcy and the end of the pandemic, that support is going to be very slow to be withdrawn. So I think that if anything, that the reaction that we're seeing in risk assets is subdued. The amount of support that is there for the economy in fiscal and monetary terms is extraordinary.
Yeah, much more room for yen currencies to move higher, I think, in 2021. Okay, so I think we'll move on to our second topic, and that's to talk about yesterday's business activity PMI data. It's something we've obviously talked about on the podcast before. These are the critical indices of economic activity that provide an instant and timely snapshot of how the services and manufacturing sectors are performing relative to the previous month. So any level above 50 is expansion, any level below 50 denotes contraction. And we've undoubtedly seen a bit of a divergence in this data in the past two or three months or so between the US and Europe. The indices in the euro area have fallen sharply since the summer. The services index was down to a six-month low, 41.3 this month, dragging the composite index to just 45.1, both of those below expectations. Undoubtedly, a direct consequence of the sharp jump in COVID cases we've seen in Europe and the strict reimposition of lockdown measures across the bloc. By contrast, the US economy does, however, appear almost immune to the worsening in the pandemic numbers. Both the services and the manufacturing indices in the US from market comfortably beat expectations yesterday. The services index rose to 57.7 in November, which is actually its highest level in 5 years. The manufacturing PMI also now its highest level since late 2014. So my question to you both, why are we seeing such a sharp divergence in these PMI numbers, and what's the implication for the FX market?
Well, I think that the first thing to comment is that these PMI numbers, even though they're the most important leading advanced indicator of the economy, have become a little bit backward looking in that we have this vaccine news and the prospect for an earlier than expected end to the pandemic restrictions. Now, that said, I think it has mostly to do with the fact that the U.S. most U.S. states have been very reluctant to impose widespread lockdowns that affect economic activity much more so than the Eurozone. And that's what we're seeing in this divergence between the PMI numbers, especially in the service sector. I think that manufacturing is less affected by lockdowns, and therefore there's less of a divergence there, but we're clearly seeing in the services PMI numbers, which are massively better in the U.S. than the Eurozone, we're seeing the divergence in the lockdown policy on both sides of the Atlantic.
Yeah, I would actually also point out to the fact that the situation in Europe is not really homogenous. So we are seeing a really big contraction that's taking place in France and in countries outside of Germany. But the situation in Germany is actually pretty good right now. So the composite index still remains above the level 50. And generally, the situation is much better than what we've witnessed during the first wave of the vaccine. And this divergence between France and Germany likely has to do with, well, for once, the fact that the restrictions that are in place in France, or actually a very harsh lockdown, is significantly harsher than the situation in Germany. So people are not really allowed to go out of their house without having a valid reason to do so. There is night curfew, etc. Well, in Germany, those restrictions are quite limited, and they only include restaurants, bars, and a few other things. But overall, the extent to which the services are limited in France is far greater than in Germany. And also in Germany, if we look at the structure of the economy, the manufacturing sector in Germany is around twice as big as it is in France, if we compare it to the GDP. So that's also another reason why we haven't seen such a decline in Germany. And this actually makes me quite optimistic of the situation in the Eurozone going forward. So we are seeing a very significant resilience of the manufacturing sector. And actually, the country which is the biggest economy in the Eurozone is doing quite well right now. So this makes me optimistic that when the lockdown is lifted in countries like France, and when the restrictions are also eased in countries like Germany, we will be able to get back to where we were. So the fourth quarter, we might see a contraction on a quarter-on-quarter basis, looking at the entire Eurozone, but actually Germany might outperform other countries. And I think that this is a very interesting thing, and compared to the first wave of the pandemic, and also one thing that gives me optimism towards the future.
Yeah, I'll definitely agree with that. Yeah, I think what we're seeing here is undoubtedly a direct consequence of the very strict virus restrictions we're seeing in Europe. We've mentioned many countries are in full-on lockdown, stay-at-home restrictions. Businesses are either closed completely or limited capacity. Versus in the US, as we said, where restrictions there have been much softer. We've seen them imposed much more sporadically. It's not really been a coordinated approach, and it's very much dependent on each individual state. I think potentially the drawn out presidential transition period doesn't help in this regard, and measures that we have seen so far have been subsequently rather limited compared to Europe. The trade-off being, of course, that the US economy has continued performing well. I think we're likely to see much stronger growth in the US in Q4 than both Europe and the UK, which both look likely to suffer relatively sharp contractions. So I think it could present a little bit of a short-term drag on euro-dollar potentially in the next few weeks, as we've mentioned. But with vaccines hopefully coming soon, probably by the end of the year, assuming they're approved, I would expect this trend possibly to reverse in the more medium term, with a potential for a bit of an upside in euro-dollar, I think.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think that there is a much higher chance of the euro-dollar surprising to the upside than to the downside currently, based on the amount of positive news that we have recently received and that we are likely going to continue to receive in the next few weeks and months.
I would add one caveat there that the biggest risk event left over before the end of the year right now is that ECB December meeting, where it is clear that there's this a lot of aggressive additional action from the ECB is being priced in and expected, but there's a pretty decent chance they actually top out and do even more than is expected.
Yeah, we are also looking at two other resolutions. So one is Brexit, and we'll hopefully get some news on that in the next few weeks. And also we have this fiscal package that currently Poland and Hungary are opposed to because they are linked to the rule of law. So there are a few factors that could that pose a downside risk to the euro in the short term. But I think in the longer term, there is a much higher chance of the euro dollar going up, and that the potential for it to go up even more than we expect is higher than for it to go down stronger than we expect.
Yeah, so still a few event risks before the end of the year, as you mentioned, Brexit, ECB. I think the ECB will be the big one. And that'll be a good topic for our next podcast in a couple of weeks' time.
And that just about does it from us. If you're keen to hear more about our thoughts on the currency markets, visit Ebury's website or follow us on social media. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast on your favourite podcast app. And let us know if there are any topics you would like to hear more on during upcoming podcasts. Keep an eye out for our next episode in a week's time. Thank you all very much for listening.